and entreating him that they might not touch the fringe of the cloak, and as many as touched it were cured.
Thank you, Al. Let's pray together one more time. Father, we thank you for a word that you have given to us, a word of a story we have heard on a regular occasion. It is a story that is both familiar and yet somehow astonishing. So let your word come to life, not by my lips, but by yours. Take me out of your way and let yourself speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We act on what we believe. Isn't that true? We act on what we believe. If we believe a chair can support us, we sit in it. We believe that a key works, we sit in it. I mean, we turn it, we use it. You'd think after 30 years, you know? No, thank you. If we believe that the road is safe, we will drive on it. If we believe the date on the food is right and it's before that date, we will use it. We believe. Children believe. Children believe that if their parents can catch them, they will. They believe everything they say. I remember once we were living in Harcourt. Eric was, 18 months old. He was at the top of the stairs. And before I knew anything, he said, "Catch me!" And I wasn't paying attention. And he leaped off the stairs. I turned around just in time to catch him. In his mind, he was right. In my mind, I was panicked. We act on what we believe. If we believe it will happen, it will happen. If we think it is right, it is right. And conversely, the same is true. If we believe that it is not something, we will not do it. If we believe it's not safe, if it will not work, if we will not function, we don't get anywhere near it. We don't get anywhere near it. We will not act. We will not move. We will not try. We will not risk. It's even true in our beliefs. It's even true in what we believe. Faith is a risk. Faith is trusting and then acting. In Jesus, faith is believing and obeying. It is stepping out. It is giving it a try. It is abandoning your fears. It is being courageous. Following Jesus is a risk. Following Jesus requires you go and do something. Something that is not easy. Going somewhere, having the courage to believe, trying something, risking who we are and our reputation. It is going out and doing something that somehow causes us to go beyond our comfort zone. Faith means just go and do. Look at the incident that is before us, that Al read for us. Verse 45. Mark chapter 6. The very first word is what? Immediately. Immediately what? Immediately is a word of continuity. Immediately refers both back and forwards. Immediately, it's a word of response and connection too. Immediately after what? Feeding of the 5,000. Everyone had just gotten dinner. The disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers from the kids' lunchbox. 5,000 men had been fed, not just mentioning the women and children who are also there. And at the end of all of this, Jesus immediately gets the disciples and sends them off on a boat. And you're wondering, what is that about? Why would Jesus pick up the boat and send them off? Because in the book of John, it says the people were so impressed with the act of Jesus, they wanted to make him king. And the disciples would think, that's a good idea. Because their understanding of what a Messiah was is still not complete. It is still half-baked. It is still subject to misinterpretation. And Jesus said, no, immediately I want you in the boat. I want you off. I want you to go. and to go down and head to Bethsaida. Not a long boat ride, maybe 5-8 miles. You're just going to go on a boat. They're going to sort of creep along the shore. He sends them in a boat size for 12. And he is there descending them and dismissing the crowd, and he is sending them home, and he is the one who sends them away. And after that, Jesus does a remarkable thing. Jesus goes up and prays. He goes out into the wilderness. He goes out into a place where no one else is, and he prays. He does this on a regular basis. He did it right after Capernaum, and he had an amazing healing event. Remember, there were so many people they couldn't get into Peter's mother-in-law's house. This is in chapter 1. And he goes up into the hills to pray. The disciples are going, hey, what are you doing? We're popular down here. People want us. And Jesus said, no, that's not why I have come. He will go again just prior to his passion. He'll go right after the Lord's Supper. He goes in the midst of crisis. And this is one of those where he has to go back and just spends time with the Father to remember his purpose, to reorient his life, to reaffirm all that he's doing. He gets just to go away and to get things back in perspective. And Jesus goes and prays. He prays for a long time. Now evening has come. You have to remember, by the way, evening comes around here right around now. It's in August. It's no longer quite late June, so it's what, 9 o'clock? 8:45 maybe? It's 6 o'clock there. Sun rises at 6, sets at 6. 6 a.m., 6 p.m., it's getting dark. Long after dark, Jesus has been praying. And he goes down to the shore and he can see, by the way, you can see across the lake. The Sea of Galilee is not as big as Lake Michigan. It's about the same size as the bay. So you can see across. And he sees that their boys are out in the boat. And the boat is out in the middle of the lake. They're not supposed to be in the middle of the lake. They're supposed to be sort of hugging the shoreline. But they're out in the lake because the wind is blowing. Bethsaida is just east of where they are, or just west of where they are. And they're supposed to be kind of coming along, but it's a little difficult. You have to understand the geography of the area. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. 700 feet below sea level. The hills around them are 1,400 feet above sea level. So you've got about a 2,100-foot drop, unless you're in the northwest corner, and they're 2,500 feet. So you've got over 3,000 feet over there in the Golan Heights area. And the winds come down, and they just sweep on the lake, and they create immediate storms. And now there is either a north or northwest wind, and it's blowing them out into the middle of the lake or the sea. And they are struggling for all they have. Now, these are guys who are familiar with boats, but they are not seafaring people. How many of you are sailors in this room? Anybody a sailor? Do we have a sailor in the room? Sailor? Yeah? Comfortable? Good job. Have you, Rob, have you been out in the middle of a storm? Comfortable out in the middle of a storm? But you're comfortable on the water. Jews are not comfortable on the water. They were a desert people. In fact, their entire history, they had almost no time where they actually owned the seashore, the seacoast. They were up in the hills, they were in the foothills, they were in the wilderness, they were in the desert. They know boats because of the Sea of Galilee. They don't like water. In fact, if you take a long listing of all the things of water in large bodies of water in the Old and New Testament, very few are positive. Where are the monsters? They're in the water. Where do the demons want to rush to in the pigs? They're in the water. Water is bad. Water is chaotic. Floods are judgment. Water is never seen as a good thing. The Jordan River is not an affectionate river. It is a barrier that they have to cross. Water is something that scares them. They call it the abyss. It's where the demons dwell. It's chaotic, it's dangerous, and they're afraid of it. And they're out now in the middle of it. No one ever goes for a holiday to the sea. Bad things happen, and now they are out in the middle of it. He is alone in the land, and he's watching this. It may be midnight. And he's watching this. And he's watching them and they go. And they are straining against the oars. They are struggling. This isn't canoeing. This is pulling for all you can worth as best as you can because things are going bad. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, verse 48, about the fourth watch of the night, he let them struggle for hours. He let them strain for hours. When we read this, we think to ourselves, Jesus, what's the matter with you? Come on. Don't you see we're having a problem here? You're the solution. Let's get with it. Have you ever prayed that way, honestly? God, it's time to do something, and the time is now. God, I'm tired of waiting. You're all-knowing. You know this. Do something about this. And nothing happens. And we get agitated, and we get upset. Can you imagine the disciples would do if they saw, hey, Jesus was watching you from the side of the lake? Really? Why wasn't Jesus helping us? Well, Jesus comes to help. At the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them. God really rescues immediately. And he's walking on the lake, walking on the water. And look at the verse. He was about to pass them by. I believe the way Al read it in the New American Standard Version is that his intention was to pass them by. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what's that about? We're struggling in the middle of the water and God's going to just walk by us. He's not going to do anything. He sees that I'm having a difficulty. He sees I'm having a problem. He doesn't care enough to stop and solve the situation. What's that about? And Jesus catches up with them. And he's walking towards them. They're not in life danger. They're just striving. They can't get to their location. They can't go where they want to go. They're not in peril. There's nothing about that. They have been straining against the wind because the wind keeps blowing them south and they want to go northwest. Sometimes I'm in a difficult situation. I'm not in peril. I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. My life situation isn't going the way I want it to be. It's going in a different direction, and I want something different. Or am I the only one that ever finds himself in that situation? And I want God to fix it. And he doesn't. And I want to know why. I'm not listening, but I want to know why. I'm not paying attention, but I want to know why. Because he has something else involved that requires something a little stronger. But when they, verse 49, but when they saw him walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. You're out in the bay, 2 o'clock in the morning with your buddies, you're fishing, you're having a nice time, there's no wind, a bright moon, and all of a sudden you see somebody walking to you on the water. What's your first thought? What am I drinking? I thought this said Diet Coke. I'm asleep. How many of you think it's one of your friends coming to join you? How many of you think it's a ghost? It's not natural. People don't walk on the water without benefit of rocks. People don't do that. That just doesn't happen. And the disciples cried out. They actually screamed. That's the word. They screamed because they were terrified. And Jesus said what? It's me. Immediately, there's that word again, Jesus said, it's me. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Don't be afraid. And he climbed in the boat, and the wind dies down. Now, I don't know about you, but I think those two are connected. He climbs in the boat, and the wind dies down again. He climbs in the boat, and he changes the weather patterns. He climbs in the boat and demonstrates his authority over the wind. And they were completely amazed, and they were stunned. And Mark makes an interesting comment. They didn't get the things with the loaves, so they didn't get this because their hearts were hardened. That seems like kind of a harsh judgment, doesn't it? How many of you would be scared for walking on the water? I would. I'd be frightened. Comes out of nowhere, I don't understand it. Is my heart hard? Well, it's confused. Maybe it's not paying attention. Maybe it's wrapped up in its own agenda. And maybe that is what a hard heart is. Maybe it's an unreceptive heart. Maybe it is a heart that is not willing to take the risk and believe because they just saw Jesus defy the physical norm. Out of 5 loaves, 2 fish, he fed 5,000 people. And we're talking about like sardine fish. And we're talking about baguettes. 5,000 people. Shouldn't have happened. Ended up with 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Should have never happened. That was miraculous. But they just kept passing and going, well, isn't that interesting? Huh. You running out? Me neither. Kind of strange. Weird. We got a lot of work to do. That, in the minds of Mark, was the same level as Jesus walking on the water. He is in absolute command. He is in absolute control of all physical forces. He is absolutely there. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus is the Lord of everything, the Lord of creation, as well as the Lord of my life? Do we believe that Jesus has authority over the physical, spiritual, every realm possible? Do we believe that? If we believe that, we're going to act upon it. Jesus gets in the boat, they head right over to Gennesaret. In the northwest corner, they go a little bit farther, they go over 10 miles, they land there, they anchor, and all of a sudden people begin to realize it's Jesus. And they believe, and then they begin doing something amazing. They drag every sick person they can, whether they're walking or they have to carry them on mattresses, and they drag them to Jesus. And they are so impassioned. Look what it says. They ran throughout the whole region, carrying the sick on mats to wherever he was, and wherever he went, whether it was villages or cities or in the countryside, they put the sick in the marketplaces and they begged him to touch you. Or can we at least touch you? Please, let us touch you. They acted upon what they believed. They took their sick, they dragged them out of their house, they picked them on mats, they took them wherever they could, they gathered them in large areas, and they pleaded with Jesus, just let us touch you. Just let us touch you. We want to just... Can you imagine? Jesus is coming to Traverse City. And all of a sudden, you and I and everyone else, we take every sick person that we know, every person with pain, every person with a physical disability, and we drag them to the open space. We put them on wheels, we put them in cars, we put them in the back of pickup trucks, and we drag them over to the open space and we wait for Jesus to do that. And all around us, people are going, what are you doing? We're going to the open space. We're taking the sick there because we believe Jesus is doing something. Are you crazy? No. I'm desperate. I'm in need. But I believe, and I'm going to do something about it. These people believed, and they did something about it. It's interesting. When Jesus sees them out in the boat, his first instruction is this: take courage. Take courage. 35 times the Bible says, be courageous. He tells Joshua, God tells Joshua on the verge of entering the land. Can you imagine that? Moses is dead. No, you're going to lead these people and you're going to go into the land. And here's what God says. Be courageous and strong because you will lead these people to inherit the land. Be courageous and strong. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. Be courageous and strong. Have I not commanded you? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged because I will be with you wherever you go. That's the same promise you and I have. This morning in Sunday school, we read Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus said, get up and go. Go. Go into all the world, create disciples, teaching them everything I have ever taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to go. Go. I'll be with you always. The one who is here this morning has control of the weather. The one who is with us this morning has control of the movements of the planets. The one who is with us this morning has control of disease. He has control of everything. Do we believe that? Then what are we going to do about it? How will we act upon it? He said, I want you to go. Well, I don't know. What can I do? Go. I'll be with you. Go. It's going to be fine. Go. I want you to go do something. I want you as a church to do this. I don't know if we can do it. Do you realize we only have 56 members? Do you realize our budget is just so small? Do you realize that all we have and all we are, I mean, look at the congregation. We're not exactly the 20-somethings. We have more blue hair in here than a punk rock concert. You liked that, didn't you? What can God do with West Bay Covenant Church? You have no idea. He fed 5,000 people out of a lunchbox. He calms the waves. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. Just by the touch of his garment, people's lives are changed. What do you think he can do with us? Do you believe that? Do you have the courage to step out into faith? When Matthew tells the story, he tells the story of this little incident where Peter says, Lord, if it's truly you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, okay, come. And Peter steps out of the boat, puts his foot on the water, and it stays. Puts his other foot on the water, and it stays. And he starts walking, and it stays. And he's walking on water. Only two people have ever walked on water in the entire history of the earth. Jesus and Peter. And Peter only got about 10 yards. Because then all of a sudden he looked around and discovered what he was doing and he thought, I'm walking, I can't do this. And whoosh, down he went. And Jesus pulled him up and he said, you're doing it. Why don't you believe? You see, Peter didn't have a problem believing in Jesus. He had a problem believing in himself. Do you have the courage? Jesus has told us, oh, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Take courage. So when you leave here this morning in 2 minutes, be strong and courageous. Because if you believe it, it's time that we acted on it. If we have faith in Jesus, there has to be an action. If there is faith in Jesus, then we have to somehow live it outside these walls. We have to take it to the streets. We have to walk where we go, and wherever it is, we have to go and make disciples. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Then let's do it. Amen.